one of the most important and indeed most controversial bills to be debated on the floor of Queensland Parliament is happening in the next week or so. It is, of course, legislation to introduce voluntary assisted dying. I've spoken about this topic on the show with leading advocate Andrew Denton in recent months. Someone probably more important to hear from is a lady called Tanya Battelle. Tanya is a terminally ill Queenslander. She's been a long-term advocate for this legislation to be introduced, and it's a great honour to have her on the line from Brisbane. Tanya, first of all, welcome to the King Review.
Thank you very much, Gavin. Delighted to have the opportunity to speak to you. Thank you.
It is such a big topic. Queensland, I think, is the fifth state, the fifth parliament to introduce or look at introducing this legislation. Tanya, first of all, just give listeners some context about your health battles, the reason that you're so passionate and for so long have been fighting for voluntary assisted dying legislation.
Okay, so I'm 57 now. My advocacy started when I was 19, probably on the back of caring for my mother, who had many years suffering from cancer. She was an advocate too, which was back in the 70s. And then at age 19, I was asked to participate in a college debate on, they called it euthanasia. And thank goodness I was on the pro team. And it always made sense to me. So I was always an advocate. And then when the introduction of the Victorian debate kicked off here, it was very much about, okay, this is a socially progressive issue and the timing is now. So I started to get involved watching Victoria. I then joined forces with a colleague, Fiona Jacobs, and we started a petition and a forum called Voices for Change. And at that stage, this is 3.5 years ago, that was to actually get the Queensland government to have an inquiry. Mm-hmm. So Queensland was the only state to never have had an end-of-life choices inquiry. So that's where the advocacy starts. Simultaneously and coinciding with all of this, I'd had a diagnosis of breast cancer in 1997 and then another one in 2002. And then the same year that the Victorian debate was starting, I was actually diagnosed with terminal metastatic breast cancer, which meant that it had come from out of the breast area many years later and into the lung. So at that stage, yes, the news wasn't very good. It's still not good, but for some reason I'm plodding along. So of course my advocacy ramped up even further and then led to the advocacy over the last 4 years, focusing on the Queensland campaign, but also supporting all of the other states that have passed so far.
It is such a long process, isn't it, Tanya? It's just, it's
very
incredible
much.
how long this all takes. Now, if you turn to, and I spoke with Andrew Denton about this next question, if you turn to some of the examples that are in place, both here in Australia and around the world, Victoria being the big one or the obvious one, he was saying that, you know, all of the concerns, all of, well, the fear-mongering really that was put forward against that legislation has not borne out. It has not eventuated.
It hasn't.
Your thoughts
no,
on, you know, the how have you seen the Victorian legislation in practice? It's now been, I think, about 2 years or so.
It has, 2 years. I think that, look, when Victoria introduced this legislation, I think it's really important to remember that it was the first state in Australia, so it was always going to be ultra, ultra conservative. It had to be. It was the first state. And I think that there has been an opportunity to learn from the processes and practices of voluntary assisted dying in Victoria. Western Australia then obviously has since passed legislation. Again, it had a comprehensive inquiry and also a 2-year ministerial expert panel inquiry. We then moved to Tasmania, which is a private members bill, and then South Australia, a private members bill. So this is very interesting because we have four states and two have had government-backed bills, and then the other two have had private members' bills. And then we move to Queensland, which is a government-backed bill. The slippery slope arguments and all of the fear-mongering, as Andrew calls it, he calls it FUD, fear, uncertainty and doubt. And right across the world, if you look at Oregon, where you know legislation's been in place since the 90s, there's not been any instance of prosecution or any anything untoward in the legislation, neither in Switzerland either. The Victorian Review Board, their last 2 years of reports have demonstrated that their system is working very well. In fact, to the point where there are so many safeguards, it is being reported that some people actually die before they can get through the process. So that's how rigorous the safeguards are.
Now, along with your, you mentioned Fiona Jacobs there before. She is a registered nurse and a fellow advocate. Along with Fiona, earlier this week, you presented quite a significant, to put it mildly, significant petition to the Deputy Premier. Tell us about the numbers on that petition and how you were received by the Deputy Premier.
Sure. So, so basically, I think Fiona and I, as advocates, have obviously... You find yourself far more involved in politics than you would have thought possible whilst you're pushing for, you know, a humanistic change, as in voluntary assisted dying. And so it's very political. And when we started our respective social media platforms, advocacy platforms, we just had so many members of the community coming out and saying, why won't my politician listen to me? Why won't they vote for it? So I decided about 15 months ago to launch a petition, a personal petition, through Change.org, calling on the Queensland Government to make it a priority and to introduce it. And it's since been referred to now as the People's Petition. And it's just gathered momentum. Fiona and I have personally shared that petition through every corner of Queensland. We're very aware that remote and regional areas do not often get to know much about what's happening. And so we literally would spend weeks and months joining community pages, Weeper, Cape York, Cairns, Mount Isa, Emerald, Quilpie. We just wanted to test out the community's views. And the petition is the end result of that. So when we presented that petition to the Deputy Premier, well, first of all, we didn't know if he'd be prepared to accept it. So we were very delighted when he said he was. So the printed off copy was 110,000 signatures. But
incredible. You know, absolutely incredible.
It just keeps going up. Like today, it's 112,000 signatures. So it just keeps gaining momentum. And we're saying that that sends a huge message to all our politicians about the support on board from our state.
Well, you did mention politics, and unfortunately you did have to wade in to the arena of politics. So let's just let's turn to that now for a second if we can. The nitty-gritty of getting this bill passed, of course, it's a challenge wherever it is introduced. You think about the Queensland Parliament, there are 93 seats. Yeah. The Labor government holds 52 of those. The opposition and the crossbench, they're at about 41 or so.
Yes.
Your thoughts on, I mean, have you started crunching some of those numbers?
Yes.
Again, when I spoke to Andrew Denton, and that was a couple of months ago now, but him and his team had crunched some of the numbers. They think it may narrowly pass. Your take on that political, that practical political aspect of how you think this bill will go on the floor of Queensland Parliament?
Yeah, now, first of all, I should emphasise that Fiona and I are very apolitical. So we're not aligned with any particular party. When we set out to become advocates for change, we were absolutely hell-bent on making sure that we didn't come from any political perspective. This is purely the people's petition. And as I said, people who shared stories with us, people we know who have lost their battle, the terminally ill, the nurses who've shared stories with us. So this is very much a personal perspective. So along the way, as you say, you find yourself knee-deep in the politics. There is more support within the Labor ranks, and it's been very difficult because even leading up to the state election, which we've just had, we did use the petition to make it very clear who was on board and who wasn't. And we would write to politicians and we would ask them to state, you know, their position. And this is just a comment. I would say that nearly the whole of the LNP would not commit, not even in principle. And so that made it very difficult. The majority of Labor MPs did put their cards on the table in principle, But the LNP have remained very quiet on their position. So when they recently had a change of leadership, the reintroduction of Lawrence Springborg, David Crisafulli's, goals for a change, we are sincerely hoping that when a conscience vote is allowed, that it will be a genuine conscience vote. We do feel, having met some of the LNP politicians, we do feel that there is support in there. There is support by the Greens because it's a Greens policy. But as you know, Gavin, you never know until the day. You can never be so confident, we hope. And we hope that the community campaign, things like the petition, which clearly demonstrate so much community support. Victoria was starting off alone. WA obviously got some of the momentum of Victoria. Tassie and South Australia, obviously on the back of the states coming before them. So one would hope that Queensland Parliament certainly isn't going to differentiate with Queenslanders by virtue of a postcode.
Well, as I said, 93 seats in the Queensland Parliament. You need 47 yes. votes as a majority yes. to pass yes. legislation. Labor, yes. as I mentioned again, have 52 yes. members in that Parliament. Greens have got two. We know that yes. Katter's Australian Party will never vote for this type of legislation.
They won't.
A majority of the LNP, as you said, probably won't vote for it. So it is going to be very, very tight, and advocacy such as yours and Fiona's obviously crucial.
I think that there would be nervousness within the ranks of the LNP. You know, the last time there was a major conscience vote, it was the decriminalisation of abortion. And obviously the LNP members that did use their conscience vote were quite given a hard time in the press at the time. And so that's why it's really good that the LNP has new leadership in David Crisafulli. And he has openly indicated that he encourages his members to use their conscience vote. And all we can hope is that the majority will focus on their constituents and focus on the terminally ill. This bill is very much about the terminally ill. So the ins and outs and who would like objections, etc. I think at the end of the day, we must remember that the focus of this bill is the dying. It's the people who are dying. It's not an entity. It's not four walls. It's not Joe Blow or Tom, Dick and Harry. You know, it's a very personal decision. And myself, I know how far I'm prepared to go with my illness and treatment, and I've got other friends in the same boat. And it's a deeply personal choice. And for someone else to make a blanket rule that you can't have that choice just based on the fact that they might be in a political position for now, but maybe not next term, is quite alarming, really, when you think about it. It's scary.
Very, very well said, Tenya. Now, Tenya, quickly let listeners know some of those platforms that they, if they want to show their support, they can do that.
Thank you. Okay, so my particular social media platform is called VALE, V-A-L-E, Voluntary Assisted Life Ending. That's on Facebook. And there's a link to the Change.org petition, which we're keeping open. So even though we've presented the petition to the Deputy Premier, we are going to let it roll and then just see that when the day of the debate starts on the 14th of September, we'll see where the numbers are then again. The other social media page is Fiona Jacobs, and that is Nurses Supporting Voluntary Assisted Dying. So Fiona's a nurse with 30 years of practice, and her and I have worked together and independently. So she has a lot of people who work in health follow her page, and nurses. So either page is a great page to go and show your support.
Tenya Patel, well done on all of your very, very long-standing advocacy on this very important issue. And I think, as you said, it is about personal choice. Tenya,
thank you. It is.
Thank you so much for your time on The King Review today.
Thank you, Gavin. Thank you.